This is Greek Club. We are reading 2 Corinthians, and we are in chapter 7. And we are picking up at verse 2, where, in a kind of a very nice way, I was enjoying reading this yesterday as I was getting ready, Paul sort of picks up the personal narrative, if I could say it that way, of how this reconciliation between or betwixt him and the Corinthians is now developing. And he left this this way of speaking back in chapter 2. Just glance back there. For instance, look at chapter 2, verse 12. Now, my goodness gracious, when were we in chapter 2? That was a while ago. But what he says there in 2:12, he says, "But when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and even though a door was opened to me in the Lord, I did not have rest for my spirit because Titus, my brother, did not find me. But rather, saying goodbye to them, I went out into Macedonia." And see, now we finally get back to Titus here in chapter 7, where Paul actually picks up the theme and the narrative of the reconciliation. So that brings us to chapter 7, verse 2, which might conceivably sound something like this. Choreseta hemas, udena adekesamen, udena ephtheramen, udena epleonektesamen. So you get a kind of a rhythmic sound there, at least to our ear. So koreo means, among other things, to make room for. It can also mean to contain, things like that. Ana koreo means to make room for by backing up or withdrawing. So, but here it's an appeal to the Corinthians, and this is so this would be an aorist imperative active second plural. You can see koreo lengthens the stem epsilon to eta and adds sigma, then you get the alpha ending of the weak aorist. So make room for us, which means something like open up to us. And then we've got the three times the accusative pronoun, no one, right? So no one we wronged. This is from adikeo. And again, all these are weak. Well, actually, the second verb is a liquid stem, so it's a strong verb, but they all end in men. So no one we wronged, no one we corrupted. Phthero means to corrupt or ruin. No one we defrauded. Pleonekteo is the verb there. So what Paul is saying, of course, is, look, there's no reason for us not to be reconciled. That's kind of the force of what he's saying, and he'll continue this sort of personal appeal. So that's pretty good, not too hard. Any questions about morphology, grammar, or the meaning of life? So the last one, yeah, the meaning of life is Jesus, right? Okay, verse 3 then. Pros katakrisen ulego. Pro ere ka gar hati entais kardiais hemon esta esta sin apothanein kai sudzein. Toward katakrisen, condemnation, I am not speaking. I'm not trying to make you feel bad here, see? Pro erikas from pro lego. This is actually a perfect. Lego goes, how does it go? Lego, ero, apon, ereka, I think. So I have said before that in our hearts, esta, you are, with the result of, or maybe with the purpose of, es ta plus, now we have two infinitives, from sin apothnesko and sun zao. So, which, and Paul, I don't know how many times he actually does this. He likes to make up verbs by adding the preposition sun to the front. So some of these sun compound verbs that you see in Paul are actually created by him, apparently. So, and they obviously here means sun apothnesko. This is from, this would be the aorist infinitive active, and it means to die together with. And then sun zao means to live with. So literally, for I have said that you are in our hearts with the result that we die together and live together. Which, again, is kind of a striking thing to say, but you get the force. Look, there's nothing standing in the way of our reconciliation. We are one in Christ. Right? But, again, that last expression is the idiom of the articular infinitive after ace, which I think is in Fundamental Greek Grammar, chapter 17 or something like that. So, good. Questions about verse 3? Again, very short sentences, not too bad. Will?
The ace plus the articular infinitive, mm-hmm. Does that usually express purpose? Or?
You know, I don't know if it usually does. It's one of the main options. You know, a result is the other one. And occasionally it could even seem like there's an example somewhere in the back of my memory where it even has a, sort of a lesser meaning than that. But those are the, you know, that's the coin toss. I think here, you know, you are in our hearts in order to live together or die together. I rather think here it might express result. At least in my head, that seems to make a little more sense, although either one might work. So, okay. By the way, this form sudzain is a little odd. You might expect... I think if it followed the, this is from sin zao, and the active infinitive ending would be epsilon iota nu, ain, or ein, as Dr. Vels would say it. So what you would actually expect here morphologically is sudzan with alpha and iota subscript. Okay, now why do I know this? Answer, because I have these stupid rules for vowel contraction memorized in my head. And David, if you want to say them with me, you suffered... You know, ah, e, ah, ah, o, oh, ah, iota, iota. See, that's it's that set. See, you have that in your head, you know. So, but za'o actually is odd morphologically. It doesn't. It simply doesn't follow the pattern normally. So, does this make any difference? No. Are we ready for verse 4? I think so. Okay. We have some datives of possession here. This is very exciting. Polemoi paresie. Aparizia pros hemas pale moi kalkeses hyper humon. Pepleromai te paraklese hyper periseuomai te kara epipase te thlipse hemon. So, pale paresia, much courage or boldness or openness or something like that to me. Toward you, okay? And so you need a verb, and when in doubt, if there's no other likely candidate, you supply the linking verb. So there is much encouragement or boldness to me toward you, which is an idiom. That is, I have much courage or much openness. This is the dative of possession. It's simply a dative with the linking verb. And in that sense, read, it's... you can do the same thing in Hebrew, right? So there is to me a covenant, right? Which would be haya plus la, right?
That's good.
That's right. See? Ich bin ein Mensch. So I have no idea what I actually said. Maybe they'll edit it out. There may not be too many people listening in Germany. So, but the same idiom, much boasting to me on behalf of you. In other words, I have much boasting on behalf of you. Pepleromai, this is from our friend pleirao, which means to fill or fulfill, and this is be the perfect indicative middle or passive, probably passive. I have been and am filled te paraklese, with encouragement. Hippir periseuomai, this would be a present indicative middle or passive, again, probably passive. From perisio means to abound or to make something abound, and hyper perisio means to hyper abound. Okay. So I am being hyperabounded with joy on the basis of all our, or well, not on the basis of, but probably just in all our pressing. Thlipsis, remember, it means, it's from thlibo, which means to press together. And then metaphorically, thlibo means to suffer. And a thlipsis is a pressing or a tribulation or a suffering or something like that. So, and then Paul is about to tell the story of how that came about, which is kind of a nice, again, the personal note resumes again in 2 Corinthians. So, comments, questions on verse 4. Yeah, Will.
You noted that date of a possession, is that a Semitism?
You know, I think it's probably a secondary Semitism. I think it makes sense to a Greek speaker as well. So if it were a primary Semitism, a Greek would go, what? It may very well be more common in the New Testament because these are all Jews, right? But I'm just guessing there a little bit. I think it's probably a secondary Semitism rather than a primary one. So, you know this, let's see, read, is it yasaf plus the infinitive, which means what, to continue to do something? Is that right? Yasaf means to add. You actually see, you see that actually in the New Testament occasionally, and it's prostithemi plus an infinitive. Now, that's a primary Semitism. You know, a Greek speaker would look at that and go, what? You know, and then, but then, so you'd have to explain, I'm doing a Semitic idiom here, to continue to do something. So, see, so that's two pieces of Hebrew that I remember. So, which on a Tuesday is pretty darn good. I think it's the temperature. I think it's all that shoveling I did of snow. All right, verse 5. Kaigar elfantan hemon es makadanian u demean eskeken anazin he sarks hemon al en panteth libamanoi exothen makai esothen faboi. For also, or even, now we have a genitive absolute, the aorist participle of erkomai, masculine plural genitive, and then the pronoun we is plural genitive. So, literally, we or us coming, and obviously a temporal translation would make sense, when we had come into Macedonia. Now, this actually picks up from 2:12. Right, where we looked before, where Paul, I didn't have any rest for my spirit, but I went to Macedonia and I still had not met up with Titus. And now Paul is actually resuming that here. So when we had come into Macedonia, eskeken is the perfect of echo. Okay, there's no visible duplication on there, but the kappa actually is the giveaway. Our flesh, there's the subject, the flesh of us, which, you know, probably just means here not flesh in the negative theological sense, but just our bodies, ourselves or something. It's a little bit of an unusual use of flesh. Our flesh has had no rest, no anazin. So udemi'an modifies anazin as the direct object of eskeken. Rather, and now we just have a participle, rather in everything being distressed or being pressed together or troubled. This is a little odd to me to have, a finite verb, eskeken, on one side of Allah and just a participle on the other. So I don't know quite what to make of it other than to just suggest maybe that it's like a periphrastic. We were being pressed. Or something like that. As we've actually seen, you may not remember them, but we've seen remarkable strings of participles in 2 Corinthians, back in chapter 4, also in chapter 5. So, and now this actually may very well be where the hymn gets it: fightings and fears within, without. Right. So, exothen, from without, battles, fightings. Mache is, well, you get the word machaira, means sword, right? So battles from without, fears from within, right? And these are nominative nouns, battles and fears, or fights and fears. So you have to, again, supply there were, or something like that, just so that you can explain the nominative. There were fightings without, fears within. So again, so Paul is on the road here. This, by the way, this is Acts, what, 20, where he has left Ephesus. I don't know if you remember the narrative of Acts geographically, but in Acts chapter 20, he leaves an 18-month ministry in Ephesus, and he goes north around the top to Troas and then back down to Greece to Corinth. And so this letter, 2 Corinthians, is actually written from the road, probably near Troas, as Paul is kind of making his way there. It's narrated very briefly in Acts chapter 20. But Titus finds him. I mean, and, you know, he didn't have a cell phone, right? So, I mean, can you imagine Titus? You just kind of, he's going north and east and, you know, on the way he's, and he, because he knows Paul's itinerary. So he's just looking for Paul to try to meet up with him so he can give him the good news that the Corinthians have kind of turned around in their relationship with Paul. So, I mean, it's kind of, we have, can we, what do you call these meetings where you have a virtual meeting, you know? Can we have a virtual meeting? The answer is no, you can't. You have to find me in Troas. That's what you have to do. So no rest yet, Macedonia. And then he's going to continue to talk about the fact that he hasn't yet met up with Titus. So it's all good on verse 5? Yep. Will?
Do you think that eschaken is an example of just the language being used in its unspecific, in an unspecific way, like, this is not a perfect here. It's more like we didn't have rest.
Yeah, it's hard to give it. It's sort of true perfect forced, isn't it? What sense would that make? Because as he's about to complete the story now, he has joy. He has rest because he did meet up with Titus. So, for instance, as Dr. Bartelt would say, there's a flag on the play. And guess what? Some manuscripts, a few at least, read an aorist, eschen, right? So, which kind of indicates that some people at least felt a similar puzzlement that this was a perfect. So, yeah, and there's probably a grammatical name for this, like the aoristic perfect or something like that. But that just means that sometimes language doesn't follow the rules, right? So, yep. Okay, well, I want to get to the reunion here. So we're going to do 6 and 7 together, where it sounds something like, Alha para kolon tus tape nous par ekalisen hemas hatheas. Ente parousia titu, umanande ente parousia autu, ala kai ente paraklese, he par eklethe f hemin, humin, an angelon hemin, tain humon epipathesen, tan humon adirman, tan humon zelon hiper emu, hosta ma malon karenai. So this is all good news. So on the one hand, we had fightings and fears, verse 6. But the one who encourages the humble, and tapenus here probably in the sense of downtrodden or discouraged, that one, parakaleod us. And who would that one be? Comma, apposition, God. Right? And he parakaleod us, he encouraged us, N plus the dative, at or by or with, the parousia of Titus. Now there's a nice example of how parousia just means appearance or presence. I mean, this is the Greek term for, that's typically used of the parousia of Jesus, right? But, you know, Paul uses it at least once in Philippians of his own presence and absence, and so it just depends on who's being present as to whether or not you capitalize it. So, we met up with Titus, the coming, the presence of Titus. And not only at his presence or coming, rather also in the encouragement. Now, hey is a relative pronoun, right? I think I counted once. I sometimes like to mention this. I think the letter eta can be 9 different Greek words, depending on how much or how little you have of accents, breathing marks, you know, circumflexes, iota subscripts, blah, 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 blah. This is actually a feminine singular dative relative pronoun. At the encouragements by which par eklethe, he, Titus, was encouraged over you or with you. And now we have a participle, and the referent of the participle would be the he of he was encouraged, which refers to Titus. And, you know, to be honest, I know that sometimes participles can express result, and I don't know if that might be it here, that he was encouraged with the result that he was announcing to us your epipathesen, your desire. Now, another accusative, your mourning, adirmon, your zeal, the zeal of you on behalf of me. And now we do have the result construction. Karenai is actually the aorist infinitive passive of Cairo, rejoice. And it has an active meaning. I had to look this one up in the lexicon. With the result that me rather to rejoice. With the result that I especially or really rejoiced. So backing up and doing 6 and 7, and then maybe we'll stop there again if there's no questions. Rather, the one who encourages the humble encouraged us, comma, God, comma, at the coming of Titus, and not only at his coming, but also in the encouragement with which he was encouraged because of you, so that he announced to us your desire, your mourning, your zeal for me, with the result that I rather rejoiced. And then break in thought, verse 8. We'll pick up there next week. So, very good.